Pray real quick again, if you don't mind. Chapter 2 is where we're going to be. Father, we ask that you would open up your word to us, that you would bless it. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would just speak to us this morning. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. The book of Acts is the history of the early church. It's the story of what Jesus continued to do through the Holy Spirit after his ascension into heaven. Y'all got that? You got it written down yet? It's on the test. It is the story of what Jesus continued to do through the Holy Spirit after his ascension to heaven. The book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, tells us of what Jesus began to do. The book of Acts tells us what he continues to do. And all, I thought, we are seeing him move. When did y'all get into town? Have you been into town for a while? You got in last night?
We've been here for a week.
You've been here, so you've been seeing what Jesus is doing.
We've experienced what Jesus is doing.
Yeah, amen. He's using you. And you're out there and you're seeing it. I mean, we see it every day. Friday, let me tell you a story, a little Jesus story, okay? Friday, I was coming here and we had this just real, real great, great team. Dean Murphy from Calvary Chapel, Lake Elsinore, you California folks, he was here and, he had this dear woman of God with him. Her name was Deborah. You would talk to Deborah for like 30 seconds, and she would say, "I love Jesus. I do." And you go, "Yeah, I can see that." I mean, you knew that she wasn't talking smack. This was the real deal. This is a woman who loves Jesus. And so we have this really good team here with us. And they were going to go and cut up logs at a place where no one's at that we're going to use as a staging area, kind of. And it was like, you know, we got this really good team here and they need to be in front of people and, oh, Lord, Lord. And I called Vince and Vince, what have we got? And he's telling me and it's like, no, and I'm getting really irritated because here's this group that needs to be ministering in front of people. I get here to the office and there's a sister here that is just overwhelmed. And Pastor Steve, and I need help. And you need help. I have this team, and this team went and helped her. She was so blessed. It was a God incident. God had arranged it that she was going to come, that we were dissatisfied moving this team out someplace else. God is moving here. We see it every single day. As y'all have been out, you've talked to people, you've prayed with people, you've shared Jesus with people, you've been blessed, blessing them, haven't you? I know it's true because we talk to the teams and that's what's happening. Jesus is still moving and he's still working in the hearts and lives of people. We're in the book of Acts. We've been studying here over the last couple of weeks. We've been looking at the day of Pentecost. We saw that when the day of Pentecost had fully come, that there was something like a mighty rushing wind. There was a sound that was something like a mighty rushing wind. And tongues of fire sat on the heads of all of those 120 that were praying. And they began to prophesy. They began to speak of the wonderful works of God. And the people who heard it, they were amazed. They said, "What can this mean?" And others mocked and they said, "No, no, no, no. They're drunk. They're full of wine." And Peter, standing up, he started to explain to them what this thing meant. He said, they're not drunk as you think, but this is what the prophet Joel spoke of. That in the last days, that God would pour out His Spirit. And your sons and daughters, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men will dream dreams, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. I always know which one it is because I dream dreams. And so us old guys will dream dreams and young guys will have visions. And God said that He would pour out His Spirit in those days. As Peter spoke to the crowd about what they were seeing, he started speaking to them that this would occur because of Jesus, because of His death, burial, and resurrection, that He now sits in heaven at the right hand of God, and the Spirit is poured out. And as they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter told them, repent. Repent. And be baptized in the name of Jesus. And he told them, for the promises to you and to your descendants and to all who are afar off, as many as God will call. That's getting you caught up, okay? Now we're picking up here in verse 40. It says, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. The people, as they heard the word of God explained, they received it. They received it. And they did so, it says, gladly. They gladly received the word. They weren't compelled to, but they wanted to. No one forced them to become Christians. No one forced them to believe what they heard. They heard it, they received it, they believed it, and they gladly became Christians. They gladly. No one was pushing them up. If you don't come forward today, we're not going to leave here until you do. Have y'all heard that? I know someone here needs to get saved, and we're not going until they do. We're hungry. I'll get saved again. They gladly received the word. It means that they heard the good news. They heard the gospel. The gospel is good news. And they heard it and they went, yeah, that's what I need. I need Jesus. Man, I'm a sinner. I need Him to forgive me of my sins. Yeah, that is exactly what I need. I need God in my life. I need Christ in my life. And they gladly received the word. And 3,000 of them came in one day. They started that day with 120. And they had a church growth program happening here. In one day, 3,000 were added. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. When the early church began, man, these people were fired up. They were fired up. They were committed. It tells us that they continued steadfastly. It wasn't just an emotional experience that they were responding to that waned overnight. You know that at Crusades, thousands of people come. Thousands. But about 3% of those people are still in fellowship 2 years later. Did you know that? Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. But they continued steadfastly. They wouldn't turn. And this is amazing when you think about it, because they lost family. They lost friends. They lost jobs because of it. They lost position in society because of this. They were Jews. And this sect of Christianity was looked down on. It was frowned on. For them to continue, it cost them something. For us, yeah, I want to receive Jesus. Okay, bless you. Man, you never see him again sometimes. They continued steadfastly. They continued in this. And these are the things that they continued in. The apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. In the breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. You know doctrine? It means teaching. They continued in the apostles' teaching. Doctrine has taken on some strange connotations. And sometimes doctrine is considered bad. Teaching isn't a bad thing. Doctrine now, it has taken on this connotation. Belief or theology. What is your doctrine? What is your belief? What is your theology? What do you think about God? That's what doctrine is considered to be. These people, they continued in the apostles' doctrine. Over the past couple of weeks, we've seen Peter standing up and teaching out of the Bible, quoting Scripture, and saying, this is what this means. Quoting Scripture. We saw it last week, quoting out of Joel. And then Peter expositing that. That was the apostles' doctrine. See, they didn't have a New Testament yet. Peter hadn't done his homework and written his portion yet. Paul wasn't even saved at this point. James, John, Matthew, Luke, none of them had written anything. They had the Old Testament. They had the Holy Spirit speaking to them. And these holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's what happened. And then what happened? They wrote it down. They wrote it down. And now, here we are. Here we are teaching the apostles' doctrine. Right here. We go to the Word of God. God preserved it for us. So all we got to do is just pick it up and go, you know, I want to see what the Apostle Paul had to say. Hey, I really want to get blessed today. I want to see the riches that I have in Christ. So I'm going to go over to Ephesians. That's it. Apostles' doctrine. That's why we teach verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Because it's the whole counsel of God. We go through the apostles' doctrine. The next thing that they did, they had fellowship. The Greek word, it's such a cool word, koinonia. It means fellowship, association, community, communion. It means joint participation, being joined together. The body being joined together. That's koinonia. The early church gathered together. We see this phrase over and over in the book of Acts. It says they were all together and in one accord, one little Honda. They all fit in there. Where's Ryan? I need him up on the drums this morning. Yeah. They were all together and in one accord. They were knit together in the common bond. The thread that knit them together was Jesus. Jesus. That was it. It was Jesus. That was it. The early church wasn't divided by doctrinal issues, by denominational boundaries. They weren't divided. Well, what's their doctrine? It was simple. Jesus. Well, are you a Baptist or Pentecostal?
Jesus.
Exactly. It was just Jesus. Well, what do you think? Should we dunk, dip, or sprinkle? I wanted to help a church, and someone asked me, what's their doctrine? And I said, Jesus. That's their doctrine. I don't care. I'm over it. It's Jesus. The early church was simply about Jesus. They were having fellowship. Don't you love the word fellowship? It sounds like two fellows in the same boat. Doesn't it? Fellowship. A couple guys in the same boat. It's very simple. Katrina? Katrina has given us fellowship. Throwing us all in the same boat. We're having communion this morning. We ran out of cups. But because of Katrina, see, my brothers across the tracks, I went over and saw them. Hey, y'all got some communion cups? Sure, Pastor, here you go. Hey, it looks like y'all are ready to put up some drywall. You need some people to come down and help? Yes, you going to send them? We got fellowship. Look at y'all, Samaritan's Purse. I love you guys. Man, people from all over, Baptists, Methodists, Lutherans, even some Calvary Chapelites, Coloradoans, the Buffs Lofts, they're my team. It was a sad day. People from all over coming together. Oh, why? Because we are told in the Word of God that there should be no schism in the body. There should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. So what's happening? It's like pounding your thumb with that hammer. You know what happens? The rest of the body says, ow! And it starts going like this, right? Right? The rest of the body goes into action. The other hand goes and gets some ice and holds it and owie, 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 owie. Right? And then it starts taking care of that thumb. Is that right? Or just my body acts that way?
First, put it in your mouth.
Yeah, I knew and you knew, but I wasn't going to do it. The body ministers to the body when the body is hurting. And when something like this happens, it's so cool because the denominational boundaries just disappear. They aren't here. If they are, just go and kick that person, okay? Say, or just kick the wall that they're building up, you know? Go, yeah. This wall's got to go down. Sorry. Katrina blew the walls down, and it has been a blessing. It really has. It's so awesome for the body to come together and be able to minister to the body as one. So that's what the early church was doing. The body being one, being united together, serving each other, ministering to each other, loving each other. That's koinonia. That's the real deal. And we're seeing it here. It's awesome. Now, for those of you who know Gail Irwin, he says that fellowship is this. Two fellows in a ship with food. With food. And we see this in the early church. They would gather together for the breaking of bread. Now there's controversy over this and we can divide, but we won't, okay? Breaking of bread. This is what we know that they did. When a Jewish family would gather to, when they'd have the family reunion, the family would gather, the patriarch of the family would stand up and he would take bread, he would bless it, and then he would break it for the family. Okay? We've seen Jesus do that, haven't we? Remember when he fed the 5,000? What did he do? He took the bread and after he blessed it, he broke it. We saw him do it another time. Remember? The Last Supper. Yeah. He took that patriarchal role, which he has, and he blessed the bread and he broke it. Now see, when they would come together, they would have the agape feast, the love feast. The agape feast, well, they would share the food that they brought with the other people who came and brought. It was a potluck! On November 6th, sign up sheet in the back. Agape feast. That's what we're having. And part of the agape feast, like we've had before when we've had agape feast, remember, we have communion. And we'll have communion on November 6th, probably too. Because it's good. So we have the breaking of bread, but we also have that communion that the Lord instituted as he took that bread and he said, this is my body broken for you. And so they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. Throughout the book of Acts, we find the church praying together. Praying! They go in the temple, what for? To pray! At the hour of prayer, we see them going into the temple. They heal a guy, they get in trouble for doing that thing. They go back and they pray! Oh Lord, we pray that you would give us boldness. And the foundations of the building were shaken. They prayed. Peter got thrown in jail. They have a prayer meeting. Peter knocks on the door. Little girl goes and opens the door, shuts the door. Oh, it's Peter, it's Peter. They say, shut up, we're praying. That's what they told her. Basically, we're praying. Don't bother us. They prayed. They laid hands on people to receive the Holy Spirit. They prayed and the people received the Holy Spirit. They prayed. We see the church in Antioch together. And they're there and they are praying. And the Holy Spirit says, set Paul and Barnabas apart for the work for which I have called them. They prayed and God moved. There is something that happened when they prayed. God responded to them. I'm loving this Katrina thing. I got to tell you, I'm loving it. Because we have real needs. And people have real needs. And we don't know what to do. We're not smart enough. We're not skilled enough. We don't have enough resources, money, people to take care of things. And we cry out and God responds. Wednesday night I met with some guys. They're with Fellowship of Christian Peace Officers, and we started talking. We've got 11 police officers that we've adopted in this fellowship, that we're going to treat them just like they're our brothers and sisters, because they are. We're going to treat them just like the rest of the family here. Well, these other guys, they've got 43 police officers. And we started talking and praying about what we need. And I told them, guys, this is what you need. You need a warehouse because we need building materials. And people will call and say, I've got building materials, but we need a warehouse. Next day, we had a warehouse. In fact, we had two of them. God is so good. As we pray, we see Him bringing the needs. We need more teams. We don't have them. We're going to go get more work instead. Because when we have the work, the Lord will bring us the teams. As we pray, we see God moving. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And in fellowship. Fellowship. You know that word is communion. And they had that communion in the breaking of bread. But we also have communion as we pray. That's where we're having communion with God. Remember when Brother Lou was here and he taught on prayer? Does anyone remember? All right. He gave a biblical definition of prayer. It comes out of Psalm 25, verse 1. It says, O Lord, I lift my soul to you. And he said, that was his favorite definition of prayer. The lifting of one soul up to God. Having communion with God in prayer. They not only had communion with one another, which is important to have that koinonia, that fellowship, that communion with one another, but they had communion with God. Because if we're not having communion with God, what are we doing? We're just a club. Seeking the Lord, seeking His will. Lord, what do you want to do in our lives? Lord, this is what we're seeing. Is it of you? Lord, if it's of you, would you bless it? If it's not, would you just close the doors? Because we're stupid. We don't get it. We don't know what it is that you want to do. So would you open doors that no man can close? Would you close doors that no man can open? And we're seeing it over and over and over and over here. And I've been goofy. I haven't been writing it down, and I really need to, because it's going to end. And you need to remember God's faithfulness. Or maybe it doesn't end. Maybe the only reason it ends is because we are not in that place of total dependence. We're not on our knees. We're not saying, oh, I need you, I need you. I went to bed again last night saying, oh, I need you, I need you. I woke up at 3:30 this morning saying, oh, Lord, I need you. I'm praying like I've never prayed before in my life. And I'm seeing more of God's hand than I've ever seen in my life. The early church was a place of prayer. If you want to come and pray with us, 11:30 Friday mornings, or any other time that we're here, just show up. We're always here. Seems that way, doesn't it? We're always here. Just show up and say, hey, we want to pray with you. We will pray. We'll stop what we're doing and pray. The early church was a praying church. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Fear! Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear! Fear, a healthy fear. See this word, phobos, phobia, right? Phobia, where we get a fear, phobos. It means fear, it means terror, it also means awe or amazement. They were all in awe of what God was doing. You know what? I bet there were goofy people like me there that were running around going, oh, you won't believe what God did. In awe of what God did, what He's doing. That's the fear that they had. Understanding who God is, His power, His majesty, His omnipotence. Having a reverence for God. Understanding that He's more than the man upstairs. Having a godly fear of the Lord. There's an unhealthy fear, and that's a fear of terror. That God is going to just squash you at any moment. Look, He loves you. That isn't the fear that a Christian should have. See, because God's wrath, Jesus took it on the cross for us. He took away the penalty that we deserved. On the cross, He went and He took upon Himself God's wrath that we deserved. So we shouldn't have that fear or terror of God. He loves us. He's demonstrated His love to us. He's shown us His grace. And they were seeing these signs and wonders. And then it says, now all who believed, verse 44. All who believed were together. They're having that koinonia thing going again. And had all things in common. And sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. They were giving. It was a good thing to be giving. They had this form of communalism. Not communism, okay? See, in communism, there's no fear of God. They feared God. In communism, it's forced. This was voluntary. This was something that they did. See, they did it out of love and out of caring for other people. This is what happened. Peter stood up and preached, and 3,000 people got saved. Those people were from all over the Mediterranean. Many of them had come for the Passover and had stayed through Pentecost. They'd been there for some 50 days. And then they hear about this Messiah, this Jesus. Tell me more. Well, they didn't have any place to stay. All the money's gone, right? The Hebrew Express card was over the limit. Think about it. they would have been there for some 50 days. They needed help. They want, we just want to stay here and just hear about Jesus a little more. And so people were sharing with them. And they were sharing, and man, they're having this revival thing that's going on, and who wants to go home? The Lord is blessing. But it didn't work. It didn't work. I think the reason that it didn't work, we'll see here down the road, is there were abuses. People started taking advantage of it. Man, I don't have to work and I'm getting fed and this is good. Hey, we see a lot of help here being given on the coast. Did you know that there's people that are taking advantage of it? You knew. Yeah. Same thing happened back here. Not only that, the Lord didn't tell them to congregate in Jerusalem. He told them, when you receive power from on high, you will be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost ends of the earth. He didn't tell them just camp out here in Jerusalem. Oh, but it's cool, man. God's doing. We're so blessed. He told them to go. He didn't want them just congregating in Jerusalem. He wanted them to go out and to share the gospel, to share the good news. And so we'll see that this didn't work. What we're given here is a historical account rather than a mandate. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. This is what they did. They gathered together daily in church, in the temple. They gathered for prayer and for worship, to praise God, to seek Him, to hear the apostles' doctrine. They gathered daily for the breaking of bread, for fellowship. That's what the early church did. I get invitations because I'm a pastor. I get invitations to go to church growth seminars. I get invitations to purchase books and tapes and videos to have a dynamic church. Here it is, right here. In these few verses, here is the church growth seminar. This is it. I don't have to worry. All I've got to do is encourage the teaching of the word, fellowship, breaking of bread, prayer. And you know what? The Lord is going to add daily those that are being saved. Is this cool? This is the easiest job I've ever had. Because all the pressure is off. I don't have to worry. No. You got to strive. You got to do this. You got to have this type of church. You got to have this movement going on. You got to do this. You got to do that. Well, in 5 years, there's going to be a new purpose-driven church. In 10 years, there's going to be a new contagious Christianity. And I like both Rick Warren and Bill Hybels, by the way. I love those guys. All I'm saying is that we have all the church growth that we need right here in the Word of God. right here if we just be faithful to the Word of God. So, does this look like your church? These things. If not, church family, you have my permission to come and talk to me. Because we need to get on the right page. If this is not what we're doing, this is what we need to be doing. For you visiting, if your churches don't look like that, they need to get on the right page. I trust that they do. Pray that they do. This is where we need to be. We need to be in the apostles' doctrine. We need to be in koinonia, fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. So, guys, we would like to have that communion this morning. If you'd come up, if you'd pass out the elements. I'd ask y'all, go ahead and pass them out. As they're passing out the elements, I'd ask y'all to just examine yourselves. Examine your hearts. You know, we talk about how churches are supposed to look. Well, churches are just a collection of individuals. These are things that you need in your life. These are things that should be a part of your communion with the Lord. Being in the apostles' doctrine, being in the Word of God, having fellowship with other believers, there's no Lone Ranger Christians, having communion with others and with the Lord, and being in prayer. This is it. So I'd ask you to just go ahead and take a few minutes, examine yourselves. For why we do this. 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" As we take the bread, we use this unleavened bread, this little cracker, no leaven, pierced, jagged, bruised. We remember that it was his body that was broken for us. In Isaiah 53, he says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed." That's the apostles' doctrine. For communion. By his stripes, we are healed. We're healed from the bondage of sin and death. We're healed from the pain that sin brought into our lives. We're healed physically and spiritually. We have a dear sister here today that I prayed with. She was in the hospital and we saw her get healed. Jesus heals us from all our afflictions, whether those are physical or emotional or spiritual. By his stripes, we're healed. He tells us to take this, remembering what he has done for us. his body broken. Go ahead, take the bread in remembrance of him. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup in the new covenant, of the new covenant, in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me." The cup of the new covenant is a cup of grace. God's unmerited favor. You did nothing to earn it. You didn't deserve it. He just gives it to you. I needed to fix some tires on my boys' bike, on their bikes. Both of them had flats. One of them had a blowout. I needed a tire and two tubes. And we went to Walmart. And they said, "Dad, would you buy me a new bike?" "No way!" I bought them new bikes yesterday. I was the best dad in the world, man. We were in the Walmart line for 20 minutes and they were telling people how good their dad was. "We're getting new bikes with pegs." You know what? I liked my kids bragging about me. Look at what the Lord has done for us. Look at the grace He has given us. He's taken away our sins. He's given us eternal life. And it all comes from the blood of Jesus. Remember what He's done for you. Take the cup. Remember. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your body broken. We thank You for Your blood. Lord, we remember. Lord, do we remember how bad it was and how good You are? We remember Your grace. We thank You, Lord. Oh, we don't deserve it. But we receive it and we believe it and we thank You. Lord, we thank You for going to the cross, for saving us. Lord, if there's any here today who have taken communion with us that don't really know You, we pray that right now that they would share in that grace, that they would say, "Yes, I believe and I do receive. Having taken communion, I realize that You did die for me for my sins, and I thank You, Jesus." Lord, we pray Your blessing upon us. We pray, Lord, that we would be the church, that we would be Your body, that we would continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. Lord, use us, Lord, as we go up from this place to be Your hands and feet. Be glorified in our lives, Jesus, we pray in Your name. Amen.